Hare Krishna, welcome to Bhakti Sangha Japa conference call. We are extremely fortunate to have His Grace Yugavatar Prabhuji here with us today. And Prabhuji will be enlightening us by walking us through Srimad Bhagavatam 4.28.34. Hare Krishna, Prabhuji, are you there on the call?
Yeah, I'm there, yeah.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Thank you so much, Prabhuji. Adan with Pranam. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you so much for giving us this opportunity, your valuable time and association this morning.
Yeah.
Without further ado, I would like to hand over the call to you now. Hare Krishna.
Thank you.
Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Jaya Gopijana Vallabha Girivardhari Yashodha Nandana Vrajajana Ranjana Yamuna Tira Vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Reading from Srimad Bhagavata, 4th canto, 28th chapter, 34th verse. Itva grahan sutam bhogan vaidharbi madirekshana anvatma padesham jyotasneva rajanikara. Word by the translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation, just as a moonshine follows the moon at night, immediately after Queen Malayadhvaj departed for Kulachala, his devoted wife, whose eyes were enchanting, followed him, giving all homely happiness despite of family and children. Purport, just as in a vanaprastha stage the wife follows the husband, similarly when a spiritual master retires for nirjan bhajan, some of his advanced devotees follow him and engage in his personal service. In other words, those who are fond of family life should come forward in the service of spiritual life and abandon so-called happiness afforded by society, friendship and love. A verse by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur in Guru Ashtak is significant in this regard. Yasya prasadat bhagavat prasada. The disciple should always remember that by serving the spiritual master, he can easily advance in Krishna consciousness. All these scriptures recommend that it is by pleasing the spiritual master and serving him directly that one can attain the highest perfectional stage of devotional service. The word Madirekshana is also significant. Srila Jiva Goswami explained in his Sandarbha that the word Madira means intoxicating. If one becomes intoxicated upon seeing the deity, he may be called as Madirekshana. Being Vaidarbhi's eyes were very enchanting, just as one's eyes are Madirekshana when engaged in seeing the temple of the deity. Unless one is an advanced devotee, he cannot fix his eyes on the deity in the temple. Om Ajnanati Miram Dasya Jnana Anjana Sharekaya Chakshurun Miritam Yena Tasmai Shri Kuruvena Shri Chaitanya Manovrishtham Sthapitam Yena Bhutari Swayam Ruta Kavdamahi Vedati Swadhanam Umam Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Putakshinata Bhakti Vedanta Swami Itinam Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharini Nirvishesh Shunyavadi Pashyatya Deshataya जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवा सभी गौर हरे कृष्णा कृष्ण कृष्ण हरे 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 राम 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 हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे और ग्लोरीज टू असेंबल डिवोटीज और ग्लोरीज टू असेंबल डिवोटीज और ग्लोरीज और ग्लोरीज और ग्लोरीज टू श्री गुरु एंड श्री गौरांग So Hare Krishna, everyone. Although I am not qualified, but still I have been called here for giving this session, and I am really thankful for the organizers of the Bhakti Sangha for calling me here. It's like, just like the prasadam serving. We know that in the prasadam serving, there are some devotees who go and get the sabji, the vegetables, and then there are some devotees who cut the vegetables. Then there are some devotees who cook the prasad, and then there is a pujari who offers it. So there is lot of hard work done behind any prasad, and then at the end, there is one devotee who is standing at the prasadam counter who is serving. So does that devotee who is serving at the prasadam counter get all the credit? No, there is a huge team involved. Similarly, today I am just standing at a prasadam counter and delivering the message to you, which has been cooked by all our acharyas, by the Goswamis, by Lord Chaitanya, by Srila Prabhupada, by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So don't treat me as a person who is speaking. I am just at the prasadam counter offering you whatever has been cooked by our previous acharyas. So there are two verses, and there is one more verse also. So in this verse, the thing that struck me was that when a spiritual master retires for Nirjan Bhajan, some of his advanced devotees follow him and engage in his personal service. And the example in this case which comes to my mind immediately is the example of Ishwara Puri, Madhavendra Puri and Ramchandra Puri. Now what happens is, Madhavendra Puri, in his old age, he became incapacitated. And there, you know, our acharyas tell us that Madhavendra Puri, who started or who brought on this earth the Madhuyaras, how come he suffered in his old age? So actually, whenever these devotees in their old age, they suffer, that suffering is just an external reason. But internally, it is the arrangement of the Supreme Personality of Godhead to give an opportunity for the disciples to serve the spiritual master. Recently, we saw the passing away of His Holiness Bhakti Charu Maharaj. Actually, none of us, the sadhakas, are even qualified to discuss about His passing away, because we are not on that level of surrender. We don't know the love and the relation between this great souls like Bhakti Charu Swami Maharaj and Srila Prabhupada. So we may apparently see that he passed away from COVID. Again, that is an external reason. So everywhere there is an external reason and there is an internal reason. So externally it may appear to us that this Bhakti Charu Swami Maharaj has passed away due to corona infection, but there is an internal reason that Srila Prabhupada must be calling him, calling this special soul at a different location for spreading Krishna consciousness. Similarly, Madhavendra Puri falls sick. The externally looks like he has been having old age, but in actuality, a great lesson was taught to the whole world, to the whole Vaishnava community, by Madhavendra Puri, that how his two disciples behave. And one of them was Ishwarapuri, who very, very lovingly cared for Madhavendrapuri. And because of the service rendered by Ishwarapuri in the final days to Madhavendrapuri, Madhavendrapuri gave him a blessing. And that blessing was that you will have the Supreme Lord as your disciple, or you will be honored of becoming the spiritual master of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who has appeared in Navadvip as Lord Chaitanya. Okay, and then Ishwarapuri, when he visited Navadvip, he went to Advaita Acharya's house. And Advaita Acharya, you know, he looked at him and he asked, "Who are you?" And you know how Ishwarapuri introduced himself? He said, "I am a Shudra, a member of the lowest caste." You know, this kind of humility is very natural for a pure devotee. For us, we are very proud that I am a Brahmin, I am a Kshatriya, I am a Vaishya. Actually, all of us are Shudras in this current age of Kali. Why does a devotee become humble? Because he understands the supreme position of the Supreme Lord. How great the Lord is. We feel that we are great. You know, I have a house, I have a bungalow, I have a car, I have a family, I have a bank balance. But we should just come out in the night and look at the sky and see those unlimited planets which are there. And there we understand the greatness of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And once we understand the greatness, how great God is, then we realize that I am just a very, very insignificant soul. And then what happens is the way Ishwarapuri introduced himself, saying that I am a Shudra, a member of the lowest class. And controversial to this, what happens is Ramachandrapuri, when he saw that Madhavendrapuri was feeling separation from Krishna, and he was crying out in the mood of Radharani, and he was repeating this verse that "I daina dina dayartha natahe Mathura nath." Oh Lord, oh merciful Master, oh Master of Mathura, when will I see you again? Okay, because of my not seeing you, my agitated heart has become unsteady. Oh, most beloved one, what shall I do now? So he used to say this one line repeatedly, and that line was Mathura na painu, Mathura na painu. And then, Ramachandrapuri comes to Madhavendrapuri and he says to him that you are supposed to remember Brahman. Why are you crying? You should remain steady. You should be stable. We also, devotees, sometimes whenever we come across yogis, mindful breathing. So they tell us, you should do mindful breathing. Yeah, that all is great. That is all good. That keeps the mind calm and quiet. And we should do some exercise and pranayama. There is no doubt about that. But only mindful breathing is not of use if we don't acknowledge breathing in is property of Krishna. I am able to breathe because of sanction of Krishna. Okay? So therefore, with every breath, we should be thanking Krishna. In one of the famous Marathi bhajans, which is written by a famous poet, Gadi Madgulkar, who has written the Gita Ramayana also. So he talks about, you know, Bai me vikat ghetala sham. And in that, he says, I purchased Lord Krishna. And he says ahead that, Nahi mozali kavadi kyamati. Like, I didn't pay anything. I didn't give any money. But still I managed to purchase the Lord. So what was the price? What was the price of purchasing the Lord? And there he says, Janma bharacha shwasa ituke moziale harinam. The price at which I purchase Lord Krishna is the number of times I breathe, I inspired and expired. That number of times, with every inspiration and expiration, I chanted the holy name. And that is with that price I was able to purchase Krishna. So Ramchandra Puri could never understand this. And he, therefore Madhavendra Puri got so irritated with him. So he said, "Get out, you sinful rascal. Oh Krishna, I could not reach you, nor could I reach Mathura. I am dying in unhappiness, and this, I am in pain because I could not achieve you, Mathura na painu. I could not reach your abode of Mathura, and now this rascal has come to give me more pain." He said, "Do not show me your face again. Go wherever you like." And Madhavendra Puri, you know, he said to Ramchandra Puri, "If I die seeing your face, I shall not achieve any destination in life. I will be dying without achieving shelter of Krishna. Therefore, I am great help." And then, you know, two disciples, Ramchandra Puri and Ishwara Puri. Ishwara Puri goes, serves humbly Madhavendra Puri and goes ahead to become spiritual master of Lord Chaitanya. And Ramchandra Puri becomes an offender to Lord Chaitanya. So basically two things went wrong here. One is he corrected the guru. We should never try to correct our guru. What are we? And he recommended guru to focus on Brahman instead of Lord Krishna. So because of his, he suffered because of this materially and spiritually. And Ishwara Puri, you know, he received blessings. And therefore, these are two people, Ishwara Puri and Ramchandra Puri. You know, that are the examples of objects of great personalities, benediction, which is Ishwara Puri, and punishment, which is Ramachandra Puri. And Madhavendra Puri has, in the Chaitanya Charitamrita 8.32 Antya Leela, this verse comes, and where it is written, Madhavendra Puri instructed the entire world by presenting these two examples. So Ramchandra Puri now had got tendency to criticize, find faults. He lost all the taste for devotional service. And he just instructed people in dry philosophical speculation. Okay, so he kept on doing Guru Aparad as well as Vaishnava Aparad. So all of us know that in Jagannath Puri, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was reciting Jagadananda Pandit, you know, saw the Lord. So, with two other devotees, Paramanand Puri and Ramchandra. And then, you know, what happens is, there was a lot of Jagannath Prasad over there. And Ramchandra Puri, with his own hands, used to feed all the devotees of Lord Chaitanya. And after feeding all of them, we know that he used to say, that I had heard that followers of Lord Chaitanya eat more than necessary, but today I am seeing this with my eyes. Okay? And this sannyasi is eating too much, his renunciation is destroyed. So this is how we offended the Vaishnavas and he offended the Supreme Lord. And because of this, Lord Chaitanya reduced his eating. So when Ramchandra Puri actually left Jagannath Puri, there was a big festival. There was a huge festival because people were so happy. So, you know, we as Vaishnavas, we have lots to learn from this. That whenever we enter into Bhakti Sangha, devotees should be happy. We should not become like Ramchandra Puri, always criticizing others, always correcting others. Of course, where there is necessary, we should do the correction. But always, you know, talking about dry philosophy, of both Brahman and stable mind and this and that, and not understanding the various moods of the devotees, then, you know, we become like Ramchandra Puri. And so it should not happen that when we enter a Bhakti Sangha that people feel that when will he go? People should become happy. People should become happy. So Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur also, he was very much against this. And Rupa Goswami also, last time as we had discussed in the teachings of Rupa Goswami, he talks Vaishnava Aparada as the mad elephant offense. Now, all the disciples are not equal. They may take his initiation at the same time, but there are different levels of sincerity and surrender. And because of that, we see some disciples, you know, they progress fast and some are not able to learn. Because Lord Krishna himself says in the Gita that as you surrender unto me, I reward accordingly. Okay. So we should understand that everybody is making progress with a different speed. And when a devotee offends another devotee, especially his guru, and if he does not rectify or repent, the door is opened for more and more greater offenses. So some of these are few of the lessons we learn from Ramchandra Puri's incident, that if we don't rectify our offenses, the doors for more offenses, they open up. Now if you see Ishwara Puri's life, you know, what are the lessons to learn for us? And the first and foremost lesson is that we should serve Guru like a menial servant. Okay? So we should be carefully serving Guru's Vani, and if we get opportunity, we should serve Guru's Vapu also. Full blessings of the Lord. This is the second lesson we learned from Ishwara Puri, that full blessings of the Lord come to a fully surrendered disciple. And that's what happened in case of Ishwara Puri. And third, humility is the key of achieving pure and uninterrupted love for Lord Krishna. And the fourth lesson from Ishwara Puri's incidents is that only one who has complete faith in both Krishna and Guru, like Ishwara Puri had, the true imports of the Vedic knowledge are automatically revealed. Now, Ishwara Puri had appeared in this world on the full moon day in the month of Jeshta. He served his spiritual master Madhavendra Puri. And when he came to Navadvip, you know, he came across, he of course went to Advaita Acharya's house. He introduced himself as, I am a Shudra. But, you know, glory of a disciple or the glory of a Vaishnava cannot be hidden at any point of time. Advaita Acharya kept on looking that why, although he's saying I am a Shudra, Lokla Shudra, why I am feeling that he is actually a Vaishnava sannyasi. And then Mukunda Datta realized that he is a glorious soul. Many times we go to different places and we try to keep on telling people how I am a senior devotee, how I am, you know, a great devotee, how I am a realized devotee, how Krishna is taking care of me very nicely, how I am a special soul. But here what happens is, Ishwara Puri just says, I am a Shudra. By that, you know, Mukunda Datta, then what he does is, he immediately starts singing Kirtan. And with moment he hears Kirtan, Ishwara Puri fell to the ground unconscious. And then everybody realized that he is a great soul. And Advaita Acharya embraced him. He could understand that, because Advaita Acharya also was a disciple of Madhavendra Puri. So he realized that, you know, he is Ishwara Puri, the foremost disciple of Madhavendra Puri. So the Lord, everybody shouted Hari, Hari, Hari. And Ishwara Puri remained there for some days. And one day he saw Nimai Pandit and he was really mesmerized by that. So he asked him, what is your name? And he said, Mahaprabhu said, Nimai Pandit said, my name is Nimai Pandit. And Ishwara Puri said, oh, really? You are Nimai, that famous Nimai Pandit. And he said, and then Nimai Pandit was so humble. He said, please come to my house and come be my guest for lunch. And then Ishwara Puri actually went to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's house and Sachi Mata served him with prasadam, you know, and they had Krishna Katha together. And Ishwara Puri stayed in Navadvip at the house of Gopinath Acharya. And Mahaprabhu would come to have darshan. His darshan, and that time Gadadhar Pandit was there, and Ishwara Puri was very affectionate to him. And Ishwara Puri had written a book, Sri Krishna Leelamrita. And so, what happened is, Ishwara Puri was teaching Gadadhar Pandit from this book. Now, one day, what happens is, when Mahaprabhu used to come to visit there, So Ishwara Puri said, "You are a great Pandit and I have written this manuscript about Lord Krishna, Sri Krishna Lilamrita. I want you to edit this. You can tell me the mistakes. I'll be very pleased." And you know what answer Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gives? Lord Chaitanya said, whenever a devotee speaks dictated by Sri Krishna, it is very pure. If anybody sees any fault in this, he is a simply a wretch. Whatever poem he composes, such a pure devotee, Krishna is very pleased. Krishna accepts the mood in which things are offered as the most substantial part of the mood. Krishna accepts the mood. So sometimes we may not be able to do katha, but if we are in a mood of a servant, we are speaking, so Krishna will accept that. No, we may not be able to do some sevas, but if our mood is right, we may not be able to collect lakhs of rupees of donation. But our mood is right, Krishna will always accept. We should always try our best, but most important thing is we should keep our mood correct. So, you know, after that, Lord Chaitanya goes to Gaya, and it was at Gaya that he sees the Vishnu path and hears the prayer, and the love of Godhead awakens. Love of Godhead was always there in the heart of Lord Chaitanya, but then he firstly started manifesting it, and that is where he met Ishwara Puri again. Okay, and there they meet each other, and there Mahaprabhu says to Ishwara Puri that my journey to Gaya is now successful because I have seen you. If one offers pinda at this place, forefathers are delivered. But simply by seeing you, Lord Chaitanya says to Ishwara Puri, just by seeing you, tens of millions of forefathers get liberation. Therefore, your presence is even more auspicious than a holy cave. So we sometimes, you know, this year the Mayapur Yatra is cancelled and Kartik Yatras everywhere are cancelled. So we feel bad that we are not able to go to the holy place. Sometimes devotees in US, they look forward to come to Vrindavan, they look forward to come to Mayapur. But what Lord Chaitanya has given us is you become a dham, he says. He says, therefore, your presence is more auspicious than a holy tirth. All of the holy tirthas pray for the dust of your lotus feet. Therefore, O Puripad, I am praying at your lotus feet to ferry me across the ocean of material existence and to cause me the drink from the nectar, drink the nectar of the Krishna's lotus feet. So Ishwara Puri says that, Pandit, I have understood that you are the Supreme Lord. This morning already I had an auspicious dream. And now I saw you here. So Lord Chaitanya says that, please give me initiation. Okay. And that next day, Mahaprabhu approached Ishwara Puri. And he initiated him with a divine mantra. And when Lord Chaitanya, you know, Ishwara Puri always was maintaining his mood. When Lord Chaitanya says, my mind has become very restless in anticipation of this initiation, you know, Ishwara Puri, what he said, he was still not even becoming proud that I am going to become his guru. He said, what to speak of giving you the mantra, I'm ready to give you my life. That should be the mood of a spiritual master. That is mood of most of the spiritual masters, that they don't take disciples for granted. They treat their disciples as their masters. So disciple treats the guru as his master in mood of service, and a guru treats the disciples in a mood of service. And thereafter this divine initiation took place. Okay. And then while coming back from Gaya, Lord Chaitanya came to the place. Just excuse me for a second, because I'm right now in COVID duties, and just a second.
Hello.
Bola.
Good evening, sir.
This corona pandemic is going on, and there was a phone from the hospital which I could not ignore. Sorry for that. So, you know, what happens is Lord Chaitanya, when he came to Kumarhatta, which was the place of Ishwarapuri's birthplace, so he rolled in that ground and he actually became wet with tears. And he took some dust and in the corner of the upper garment he tied it. Okay, and then he went to Navadvip. And then, you know, what happens is that people, when they came to know that Lord Chaitanya took dust from here, so everybody came and they also started taking dust from there. And that led to a big, huge lake over there, which is called a Chaitanya Doha. Doha is a lake. Okay. So this is the mood of Lord Chaitanya. Although he is a Supreme Personality of Godhead, he goes to the place of his guru's birthplace, and there he rolls in the dust. He carries the dust. Okay. Of course, for us, we sometimes become sentimental about this, about carrying, taking the dust of the Guru, taking the Mahaprasad of the Guru. But most important Mahaprasad which our Guru has given is the Holy Name. You know, Holy Name is a Mahaprasad given by Lord Chaitanya to the Acharyas, and this Mahaprasad has come from our Guru to us. So when we talk about Prasad, we said we should honor the Prasad. So similarly, we have to honor this Prasad of the Holy Name properly, in a proper mood, by being attentive. Rolling in the dust, yes, we have to do. But also important is cooperating with our God brothers, which is also very important. Serving our God brothers. Staying united as the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. These are some of the things which we have to follow. Okay. Now going to the next purport, and before going to the next purport, I would just like to talk about a few more things. The root cause of the offense committed by Ramchandra Puri. So he was expecting Madhavendra Puri to be sitting quietly, stable. We also have expectations in our mind that how a devotee should be. Okay, so we make this thing that a devotee should be silent. Devotee should be quiet. Devotee should be calm. Devotee should be unmoved. He should not be anxious. You know, sometimes during the Janmashtami celebration, some VIP is coming and we are calling, hello, 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 hello. And then we say, hey, why are you so anxious? Be calm. Be quiet. Don't take anxiety. You know, we have these different expectations. And because of these expectations, we judge. We are constantly, you know, judging as if examiner is giving marks. You know, I myself, I'm a medical teacher. So I keep on giving marks. 9 on 10, 8 on 10, 7 on 10, 5 on 10. So Vaishnava comes. So we say, oh, anxious. Then speaking very loudly. Then not chanting. Then, oh, not sitting in one place. He's moving around. He's restless. 5 on 10. Who has given us this right, actually? So we, you know, we keep on judging people. What is the way to avoid this? The way to avoid this is basically just seeing him as a glorious person, that he is chanting, that itself is sufficient for us. When we hear the story of Valmiki, so Valmiki, when he met Narad Muni in the forest with his axe, and he was about to kill Narad Muni, that time he was a hunter, or a dacoit rather, more than a hunter, he was a dacoit. So Narad Muni told him to chant, and because he had done so many sinful activities, when Narad Muni tells him to chant, he tries to say Ram, he said Ra 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 Ra. He is not able to say Ram also. That means if somebody is sinful, he is not able to chant the name of the Lord. So sometimes we see very scholarly people. Sometimes we see very sattvic people also. But because they have committed lots of sins in the past life, we tell them that why don't you chant one round? They will say. So if we say that if we are concluding that those who are sinful are not able to chant the holy name, if you take a reverse conclusion of this, which means those who are chanting are sinless. I don't want to use the word sinless, but they are glorious. They are glorious because they are chanting. And that itself is sufficient for us to respect them. That fact that he is chanting. Many times it happens with us that, you know, this devotee children, it happened with me long back in 1998. There was a Jagannath Puri Yatra for which I went. So in that Jagannath Puri Yatra, there was this son of one of the senior devotees. So I was serving him there. And he asked for sweets, so I gave him sweet. So I gave him a bowl full of sweet. You know, ISKCON devotees like to eat sweet. So I gave him a bowl full of sweet. And immediately he said, how much you gave? I just asked for little. So then I smiled at him. And you are smiling about that. So I was so angry. You know, that he, just because he's a son of a devotee, he's saying me like this. And I just said, okay. Then I thought on this a lot. And then today when I see various devotee children and how much efforts the parents are putting to make them devotees, they are praying to the Lord, please, please let my son or daughter, let him chant the holy name. Now I again looked at that devotee. And he has come to Puri. He is wearing dhoti kurta. He is chanting 16 rounds. And he was already initiated then. Although little arrogant. But is that, are these things not sufficient for me that he is chanting? He has taken up to devotional service. Then I have to ignore all other things. Because he has at least come to the hospital to take treatment. So once he has come to the hospital to take treatments, he will get cured. Like one who has entered a medical college, he will become a doctor eventually. Today he is not a doctor. He understands little bit. So a sadhaka is like a medical student who has taken admission. He has taken admission in a medical college, medical school. Now medical school, getting admission itself is a very, very difficult task. One has to study. Only those scholars, they reach there. So he has come to a medical school. He is not doctor, but he is in the process. So let me respect. After my marriage, I had been to meet various devotees, and I met this devotee Muralidhar Prabhu. And we met him, the couple, Muralidhar Prabhu and Radharani Mataji. And Radharani Mataji told me very nice thing. I will never forget that. She said that, I always tell Prabhuji that if you would have married a non-devotee girl, how you would have treated her? The day she would have, that non-devotee girl would have started chanting one round, you would have got a new sari for her. You would have been so happy she's chanting one round. Then she increases to four rounds, you would have got a necklace. She starts chanting 16 rounds, you would have got a diamond for her. Just because she's chanting 16 rounds. And here I am, a ready-made 16 rounder married to you. So now there is a chance you may take me for granted. I am following you. You are reading CC. I am helping you. You are going to the temple. I am taking care of your dhoti kurta. Whenever possible, I am coming with you. So then there is a tendency that when we get things ready-made on the platter, we take it for granted. Same way for Mataji, who is ladies who have married devotee husbands. Imagine if they would have married a non-devotee. How much they would have prayed to Krishna, please, 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 let him chant one round, one round, one round. Let him come to temple on Sunday. Now here we have got a ready-made husband who is chanting 16 rounds, coming to temple. So then we start taking for granted. And then, you know, there are conflicts. There are two types of activities which are there for maintaining the bond or maintaining any relation. That relation may be between two brahmacharis, that relation maybe between two devotee friends, that relation may be between two Matajis, two Prabhujis, husband, wife, friends. There are two types of activities. One are called as activities of bonding, and second are called as activities for advancement. Activities for advancement is reading book together, attending class together, discussing what inspired you in the class, discussing what you read this week or what you read today from Srila Prabhupada's book, what you heard from Srila Prabhupada's lecture. So these are called as activities for advancement. What is activities for bonding? Activities for bonding is having prasadam together, sharing the mahaprasad which you have stolen from the temple. Now, sharing each other's some personal life incident, even sharing a joke and laughing together. These are bonding. So one is activities of bonding and another is activities of advancement. There has to be balance. Both activities have to be done. Now let us consider that there are two friends or a husband, wife or any relation, devotees who are doing only the activities of advancement. Only activities of advancement. So, coming together, reading Gita, reading Bhagavad, dispersing. Not asking what is happening in each other's life. Coming together, only Krishna Katha. No other activity. No personal talks. So, by that, one person, one of them may get burnt out. Because no bonding is happening. So bonding activities are coming together, talking, joking, sharing prasad. Now consider two devotees who are doing only activities of bonding, only meeting each other, hugging each other. Are, I have got Mahaprasad for you, this cake, this and that. So only activities of bonding, no activity of advancement. That is also bad. Then they will end up doing prajalp. So if you do only activities of advancement, you end up burning a person. One of them get burnt out. If you do only activities of bonding, you end up in prajalp. So both these things have to be done together. Activities of bonding, activities for advancement. So activities of bonding keep us in the association of devotees. Activities of advancement help us in advancement on the path of devotional service. Activities of bonding are also very much necessary. You know, developing a loving relation with devotees. Actually, whenever we think of going to a Sunday feast, we want to listen from the speaker, no doubt. But we also want to meet the devotees. We also want to talk with them. So that is also very equally important. Okay. So activities of bonding and advancement, both we should have a very nice balance of these activities so that we stay in ISKCON and we also advance in our devotional life. Okay. Now, there is another verse which we had to discuss today, and that is 35 and 36. So the translation of this verse is, in the province of Kulachal, there were rivers Chandravas and Tamraparni and Vatodaka. King Malayadvaja used to go to those pious rivers regularly and take bath there. Thus he purified himself externally and internally. He took his bath and ate bulbs, seeds, leaves, flowers, roots, fruits, grasses and drank water. In this way, he underwent severe austerities. Especially, he became very skinny. Now here is a purport. The purport. Sometimes we feel in Krishna consciousness, we should be just feasting, and this purport Prabhupada is very heavy. We can definitely see that to advance in Krishna consciousness, one must control his body weight. A purport where Srila Prabhupada directly talks about dieting. So those who are dieting in ISKCON, this purport is for you. If one becomes too fat, it is to be assumed that he is not advancing spiritually. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur severely criticized his fat disciples. The idea is that one who intends to advance in Krishna consciousness must not eat very much. Devotees used to go to forests, high hills and mountains on pilgrimage. But such austerities are not possible in this age. One should instead eat only prasad. Well, this is very nice, but the next line is, and no more than required. According to Vaishnava calendar, there are fasts like Ekadashi, appearance and disappearance days of God and his devotees. All of these are meant to decrease the fat within the body so that one will not sleep more than desired and will not become inactive and lazy. Or indulgence in food will cause overindulgence in food will cause a man to sleep more than required. Human form of life is meant for austerity, and austerity means controlling sex and food intake. In this way, time can be saved for spiritual activity. One should purify himself both externally and internally. Thus, both body and mind can be cleansed. So here Srila Prabhupada is, you know, directly telling us that one should be doing austerity and one should eat only prasad but not more than required. Overindulgence in food can cause us to sleep more. human life is meant for austerity, and austerity means to control sex and food intake. You know, one of the best, actually, I am so thankful to this Bhakti Sangha group for, you know, giving me this purport. You know, as a doctor, I keep on insisting, I keep on talking about health at various places and promoting that, and especially amongst the circle of devotees. One thing, of course, in US I have seen everybody has a early dinner, which is very much necessary, because when we sleep, our organs should also sleep. That's the philosophy of the Vedas. Vedas say that by the time we go to sleep, our organs should have been also done with their job. And the advantage of this is that, one second. Like a female in the house who does the cooking and every day. But whenever she gets free time, she does the cleaning of the kitchen. She will go there, she will cleanse. So whenever she gets free time, otherwise she is doing cooking. But free time she does cleansing of the kitchen. Similarly, all of us, all our organs, they are always doing the work of digesting the food. Whenever they get free time, they detoxify themselves. So we have to give our stomach, our liver, our pancreas free time to detoxify themselves. Now, if somebody has his dinner at 10 p.m., 11 p.m., and he sleeps, that means that person sleeps, but the whole body is working to digest that food. So typically, you must have realized, sometimes we have a heavy feast at somebody's house, and then next day we are not able to get up. And the reason for that is, because of that heavy feast, the whole body has been working whole night in digesting that food. And now what happens is, the body, after digesting all the food, wants to take some rest, and we want to get up. So body is tired and we want to get up. And that's how we are not able to chant. And therefore, in this particular purport, Srila Prabhupada, you know, he talks about that what is going to happen due to overindulgence is that a person will sleep more than required. The reason what Prabhupada uses this line, overindulgence in food will cause man to sleep more than required, means because this overindulgence in food, the body is just tired of digesting the food. Our whole digestive system is like a machine, huge machine. So this machine has to be started minimum number of times. We cannot any machine, you start, switch it on, switch it off, switch it on, switch it off, switch it on, switch it on. Machinery gets spoiled. The digestive system is like a machine. We cannot, you know, switch it on and off again and again. Once we switch on, we put the food inside and then switch it off till that food is digested. So nowadays, there this concept of intermediate fasting you must have heard, where we keep a gap of 8 hours between the two meals in the day and 16-hour gap between the dinner of today and the next meal of tomorrow. So, lots of things I can speak. Rather, we can have a special class about health some time. I normally have a tendency to exactly finish in time. So this is 7:50, 4:50 I started. So I stop here and again thank all of you for giving me this opportunity to speak in the Bhakti Sangha. Thank you so much.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dandavat Pranam. I have a question, Prabhuji.
Yes.
Prabhuji, like I have been struggling with to understand this concept. Like often we hear that a guru gives us the holy name. But what I have seen, that what my experience was also, we have to chant the holy name and then we get guru. So how do we reconcile that, Prabhuji? Because we had been already chanting and then for some time and then guru initiates us. So how do we reconcile the fact that guru gives us the holy name?
No. See, thing is that the day of initiation, guru officially gives you the holy name. That is just a formality. Initiation is just a formality. It's like the day we have accepted Guru in our life. You know, that is more important, that we accept somebody as spiritual master. And then as time goes by, that formal initiation takes place. Okay, so it's something like people who do love marriage, they already are liking each other, they are, you know, together, and one day they formally get married. So it's just a formality. Okay, so actually you never should think that the holy name has come to your life on the day of initiation, or the mercy of Guru has come to your life on the day of initiation. No. The mercy from the Guru starts flowing from the day you met your Guru. Okay. Initiation is just a formality. It is just a formality that on that day we take vows, that I remain strict. So does this mean that one day before the initiation somebody can indulge in meat eating or illicit sex? Because now tomorrow onwards my guru is going to take all my sins. It's not like that. We start following the instructions of our spiritual master even before we are initiated. Rather, if we are following the four regulative principles, chanting the holy name and following the instructions of our guru, accept him in our life as guru, we say that that person is as good as the initiated disciple. As good as the initiated disciple. We should not be thinking that I have to get initiated, that initiation is just like a visa stamping process, that okay, initiation done. Okay, but then, yeah, that will happen eventually. Okay, that we should be more focused than initiation. Focus should be on chanting properly, following the instructions of the guru properly. So holy name has come to us, to answer your question, yes, holy name has come to us from our guru only. And it came long before our initiation. Long before, maybe before we saw our guru also. But on the day of initiation, formally our guru gave us the holy name. So don't think that guru's mercy has started flowing in my life from the day of my initiation. No. Guru's mercy has been flowing, and we may not be knowing the relation with our guru. It's janmo janmo. Okay.
Yes, Prabhuji, thank you for the wonderful answer and the wonderful class.
Thank you, Andhra Dhamma.
Krishna Prabhuji, thank you so much for such a beautiful class. It's very, very nice. And I really like the point that you are talking about Guru's Mahaprasadam, that we, you know, we give the importance to the Mahaprasadam that we get it. But the actual Mahaprasadam that we are getting from Guru is chanting holy name. So when we give the value to that and when we give our full time and love for chanting the holy name, then we are actually taking Guru's Mahaprasadam daily in the form of thank you, Prabhuji. That was really heart-touching point for me today. Thank you so much for such a beautiful, beautiful class. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Vinita Mataji. And that's what happens, you know, especially those who have served Guru in person. You see, after the Guru has his lunch, the Mahaprasad plate of Guru comes out and everybody is, you know, wanting to take one morsel. Okay. And that same person, maybe next day when he's chanting, he's looking here and there. So that way, if we expect the mercy to flow, it will not happen. So we should be doing both. We should be doing both. I'm not saying that we should not be fighting or yearning to have Mahaprasad of Guru. Yes, that also we should be doing. And also daily, that Mahaprasad which we have already received in the form of the holy name also has to be honored with same desperation. With the same desperation, with the same feeling of gratitude, with the same feeling of begging. So all of you at some point of time must have got Mahaprasad of the Guru. How people look at it, meditate on it, pray for it, offer dandavat to it, and then they eat. Then they are sitting quiet. Then they are thinking, this is my Guru's Mahaprasad. Same thing has to be done with the holy name also. Thank you so much, Vinita Mataji.
Thank you, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dhanvat Pranam, all glories to Shri Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj. Thank you, Prabhuji, for the wonderful, the analogies which you gave is in so common layman's terms that it really makes it so easy to understand that we do not have to take things for granted when our, especially with the kids, when you said, it really, really makes a lot of difference. Because my son is in 10th grade now, so like I realize that and we're moving to India. So he's studying according to the Indian syllabus. So then I really feel that hard because he has so much to catch up. And then, but then whenever I tell him that, okay, you chant, he willingly chants. So I do not expect anything more from him right now, as of now. Yeah. And the younger one also, he's attending school up to 2:30 or something at night, according to the Indian time. But it was very surprising for me that at night, 1 o'clock, between classes when he had time, he took up his chanting bag and he started chanting. So very I think good. That it was such like, I rather get inspired from them. And when I hear some like such classes from you all like wonderful devotees, it just gives that faith that, okay, like this is not lost anywhere. Thank you. Thank you so much, Prabhu. Just like emphasizing that point again. Thank you, yes. Prabhu. Hare Krishna.
Whatever they are doing, we should be very thankful. Thankful. Actually, what happens is we sometimes expect them to behave like pure devotees. Rather not them. We rather expect every devotee to behave like a pure devotee except ourselves. So that is the problem which causes offenses, or the problem which leads us to offend others. That expecting every devotee in ISKCON to behave like a pure devotee except yourself. Okay? So that really, really is a big issue, and that causes offenses, and constantly we keep on judging others. So whatever they are doing, we should be thanking them. We should be, saying, inspiring them. I'll give you one example. Whenever I go for chanting in the temple, many times His Holiness Radhanand Swami Maharaj is here, and almost whenever he's here, I meet him daily and during chanting, and he just comes, he just hugs. And no speaking as such, but I feel, yeah, my day is done. And I feel, sometimes I meet a devotee, and that devotee just tells me that, Prabhu, you are great, you are nice, you are so good. And I really feel nice that you are, yes. I feel inspired. And my day goes very nicely. So, what I make a conclusion from this is, if somebody says good to me, if somebody glorifies me, that inspires me to really be good, to become a nice devotee. You know, I am in a totally euphoric stage. I am determined in my devotional service. I feel so nice. It makes my day. I just feel that I will not indulge in anything bad because this devotee has called me so nice, so good. I will not do anything bad. I'll just be very firm in my devotional principles. I'll live like a devotee. I'll not behave like a non-devotee. So then with that, I concluded that if this is what is happening to me, if somebody inspires me, motivates me, I should do it to others. And then because of that, what I do is, if somebody has made my day, I should make somebody else's day. So whenever I decide, I meet a devotee, I call him. I say, you are such a nice devotee. And trying to do it from the bottom of the heart, not artificial flattery. Try to see good in that devotee and then glorify. You are doing this seva for years, months together I have been saving this. You are very consistent. You know, somewhere that devotee also, every devotee, although nobody likes to be glorified, but every devotee needs a push. All of us need a push, because everyone is in constant war with Maya. All of us are at constant war with Maya. You know, so sometimes we also need a push that, somebody tells me, Yugavatar Prabhu, you come to the temple daily. This is very inspiring. It's not that I need that glorification, but if somebody says that, next day when I'm feeling to sleep beyond 4 o'clock, I get up. I said, no, I should go to the temple and chant. This devotee yesterday only said to me, you come daily for chanting in time. You know, so sometimes it's, of course, when somebody glorifies us, we should not take it for granted. We should consider it as Guru's mercy. We should consider ourselves as fallen. But take a positive thing from it, that what that devotee is glorifying is what he is actually expecting from me, and I am not like that. So that's how glorification should lead in inspiration. Glorification should lead to inspiration. Okay, so that's what I do. When somebody glorifies me, I realize I am not like this, what he is saying or she is saying. Okay, what she is saying is this, and I am here. So because of that glorification, I get inspired to actually do something to reach up to the devotee's expectations. And this is what all of us should be doing while glorifying each other. That glorification should lead to inspiration. It should not go into our head that I am a great devotee, but I want to become a nice devotee. I am not a nice devotee. Rather, whenever anybody glorifies, we should realize, oh, he's thinking so nice about me, but I am not. But let me chant nicely, read nicely, let me attend the classes regularly, and try to reach to that level what he is expecting. Thank you.
Wonderful, Prabhu. Thank you so much, Prabhu.
And this
Bhakti Sangha is the exact thing which happens, Prabhu. Like, the Mataji is over here because we have evening classes for kids, and they are so very inspiring. that everybody will be like seeing that everybody does the best, but with so much of encouragement. So I'll just take this opportunity to thank the Bhakti Sangha for this wonderful appreciation and the motivation which they have given. Thank you, Prabhu. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Mata.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. I have one more doubt. If somebody else wants to go, please go.
Yes, Anuradha Mataji, tell me.
Yeah. Prabhuji, like this bad habit, because such a neophyte stage, that habit of judging others instantly happens. Before we realize, I feel that I criticize people even before I see them. That is my level of, that is my mind and my, that is my status. So how do we come out of this judging? Even if I, even though I know I'm way worse than the person I'm judging, but then before I can control my mind, it would have done its deed. So how do we do that?
Yeah, so that's what actually one point I was trying to make in the class was that understanding the glory of the person who has come to devotional service. The very fact that he is here in the association, in the Bhakti Sangha and chanting, that itself is sufficient for me to respect him. There is no other criteria required. However he or she is behaving. Valmiki, when he was a dacoit, he could not chant because he was sinful. That means if somebody is chanting, he is glorious. That itself is sufficient for me. That means that person has done pious activities for millions of lifetimes. Okay. So basically, seeing every devotee as glorious, we should be developing that habit. And I'll tell you, Mataji, we should actually spend some time in a week. I'm not saying daily. In a week, whenever you are free, and whenever a thought comes to you about some devotee, you should actually sit down and think that, make a list, take a paper pen and make a list about what glorious services this devotee is doing. Okay? Right, make note it down. And, you know, whenever you get an opportunity to talk with that devotees, not only if you have offended, even if you are not offended anyone, you should always keep on, you should develop this habit. See, criticism is natural for a conditioned mind. It's very natural. For a purified mind, he only sees the glory. So therefore you go to some pure devotees and you ask him, what do you feel about Yugavatar Das? And they will say, he is glorious. He is a very nice devotee. Because they have become pure, they only see pure. And because we are not at that stage currently, we only see bad things. That is our natural tendency in a conditioned state. So now, this is a problem, so we have to find a solution. The solution to this is naturally developing a tendency. If it is not natural, artificially. Artificially, always, whenever we see a devotee, you should do this exercise. In your mind, whenever you see a devotee, you should keep on thinking what all good things this devotee does. What are the glorious things this devotee does? So whenever you look at any name here, I can see so many names here. Rashmi Mataji, Aradhana Mataji, Shama Gauri Mataji, Vaishali Patel Mataji, Lalita Devi Mataji. So you just see anybody's name and then in the mind you should think about what all glorious things they are doing. In the mind. And whenever we meet the devotees, we should always positively speak. You know, typically, we know that when a devotee passes away and then we have the ceremony to honor the sevas done by that devotee, how everybody speaks so nicely. How everybody glorifies that devotee. But unfortunate part is when that devotee is with us, we never tell him those things. Right? That's the unfortunate part. That when that devotee was around us, we never told him those things, good things about him or her. Now that devotee has passed away, we are speaking for 15 minutes about that devotee. So let that not happen. Let that devotee know what you feel positive. So for feeling positive, firstly we have to practice that. So whenever you see any devotee, you should develop a habit positively. Try to hammer it on our mind, we should. That how glorious, what all glorious things that devotee is doing. It is an artificial exercise, but that's what our philosophy is. Right now we are artificially chanting, we are artificially showing humility, expecting that all these artificial things will become natural in due course of time. So artificially we should try to, in our mind, firstly glorify the devotees whenever we get opportunity. So we should speak it out in front of them about the positive things. Okay. Because Krishna also has ignored all the negative things which we had. And that's how we have come to devotional service. In today's date, if Krishna decides to judge us, that in spite of taking initiation, what are we doing? How are we chanting? What is our philosophy? We should be engaged always in devotional service, 24 hours thinking of Krishna. And what am I doing? So that's how we understand how fallen we are. So but Krishna is still allowing me to continue in association of devotees. Okay? So he has given me a concession. I'll end with this example, and we'll end the class also with this. Suppose there is a beggar, you see a beggar outside your house who is not having clothes, not having food, and you really feel bad and you get him inside the house. You give him an extra room which you have to stay. Give him food, give him clothes, facility for bathing. So now he has become a part of the family. And after that, if that beggar starts fighting with your family members, what will you feel? Your first line will be, you are not qualified to stay with us. But still I got you inside. And now you are fighting with everyone. You were a beggar, you forgot about that. Similarly, we all were beggars. And Krishna mercifully called us inside the association of devotees. Inside the home which Srila Prabhupada has built, where the whole world can live. So now we should be in that mood of a beggar, homeless beggar, who has come in the home built by Srila Prabhupada, where the whole world can live. Always maintain the mood of that beggar, that I was homeless and now I am here. And I am thankful to everyone. I am not qualified, but I am thankful to everyone for keeping me in this home of Srila Prabhupada. With that gratitude, with a tendency to glorify others, actually glorifying others, we have to work upon it. It's everybody. You are not alone in this. Every one of us are suffering from this. So we all have to hold on to each other, take tips from each other, and keep on glorifying devotees. Okay? Like all of you are so glorious devotees who are serving abroad. So whenever I get a message from Bhakti Sangha, I never refuse. Actually, I do a lot of Natak giving classes in Mumbai. But whenever I get an opportunity to talk in Bhakti Sangha, I never refuse, because for a simple reason, I feel all of you are serving Srila Prabhupada in a place where there are very few devotees, a place where there is rampant materialism, and therefore I feel it's my seva to speak something which you would like and which will please you, which will, I have nobody to inspire you, but if you can get inspired by what I have learned from Srila Prabhupada's teaching, I'll feel nice. Because you are doing a very glorious job, all of you, in overseas preaching, which was dream of our acharyas. You belong to a country where, or you are living in a country about which Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati mentioned in the first line when he spoke to Srila Prabhupada, that why don't you go to a Western world? Why don't you go to United States and teach? That was the dream of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, Bhakti Vinod Thakur, 1996, the year Srila, 1896, the year Srila Prabhupada was born. That was the year Bhakti Vinod Thakur had sent his first book to the Western world to keep it in a library. So that was the dream of our acharyas, and you are at that place where our acharyas dreamt that there should be congregational chanting of the holy name. So you are gloriously serving there and allowing me to serve. So I am really thankful to Allah.
Thank you, Prabhuji. You are very, very inspiring. Thank you for such inspiring words. And what I understood from your instruction is like, even if the mind naturally wants to criticize, forcefully make it glorify the devotee, right?
Yes. Yes.
Thank you so much, Prabhuji.
See, mind will always go to negative things. It mind also doesn't like to chant, but forcefully we are chanting, right? Same thing is for glory. Yes. Shyamagauri Mantis.
Yeah, Hare Krishna, Prabhuji, Dandavat Pranam. Very, very beautiful class, Prabhuji. Very inspiring. Lot more to learn and practice. Learning is happens, but practicing is very difficult, Prabhuji. Sometimes, you know, we take devotees for granted, but we should not take it. I like the example of giving a sari for the chanting one round and giving the necklace.
Yes.
It happened, so...
Yes, Mataji, just imagine some devotee who has come to the temple, or a devotee to whom we had a fight. If he would have been a newcomer, how we would have treated him? He would have ran to the kitchen and got Mahaprasad for him, right?
Yeah.
Or a garland. But now he's a 16-rounder, we take him for granted.
Yes.
Yeah, go ahead, Mataji.
Yes, thank you so much, Prabhuji, for giving your valuable time, Prabhuji.
Mm-hmm.
You said you have to go.
Yeah. Actually, I had some commitments. Otherwise, I would have gone on till 6:30. I have some commitments today, which came up after I committed for this. Actually, I was in a state of cancelling almost, but I normally don't give up on my commitments, so I somehow managed it. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Thank you, Prabhuji, for your inspiring class. Hare Krishna. Thank you, Mataji. Thank you, Prabhuji, and Prabhuji. Thank you, Prabhuji, for this wonderful class. We look forward to your classes, Prabhuji. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Thank you. Thank you, everyone. Hari Bol. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Lakshmi.
Thank you, Prabhuji. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much.